You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Numbers chapter 12, chapter 13 through verse 3, picking up again at verse 17. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Egyptian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Egyptian woman. They said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Is it not spoken also by us?" The Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That's not true of me, beloved, but that was true of him. The Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron, and unto Miriam, "Come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of congregation." And they came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. He said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, to speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses, not so, who's faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the likeness of the Lord shall be he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. The cloud departed from the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was a leper. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we've done foolishly, wherein we've sinned. Let her not be as one dead, whom the flesh is half consumed when she comes out of the mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O Lord, I beseech thee." The Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, she should not be ashamed. She should not be ashamed 7 days. Let her be shut up from out the camp 7 days, and afterward let her be received in again." And Miriam was shut out of it from the camp 7 days. The people journeyed not till Miriam was brought again. And after the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Send thou men, they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe their father shall be send a man, every one a ruler among them." And Moses, by the command of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All these men were heads of the children of Israel. Verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Said to them, "Get ye up to the west way southward, and go up into the mountains, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, what the land is, that they may dwell, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not. And be of good courage, and bring in the fruit of the land." And the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses, to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sendest, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, cities are walled, and great, and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelt by the sea, by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." The men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we." They wrote up an evil report of the land which they had searched, and the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we have gone to search it is the land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there were giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight." Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word. This grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name you ask it. Amen. And the privilege that we have to come again to share in the eternals of variety, we do thank you. And we pray for grace today as you help us to unfold before you your activity among your people. And we may learn a lesson from it that will help us in our daily walk. If by chance there is somebody here who does not know Jesus Christ, we pray that the desire of you to put a desire in their heart will be formed at this time. To your own, may there be a building up in the most holy faith. Consequently, we look to you for cleansing now as you energize us to that end, that your great Son might be honored, that we might be fulfilling the purpose you desire, and we thank you for it because we ask these graces in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, last week in our journeys, we came to the removing of the children of Israel from Mount Sinai, 13 days' journey. They came to the land of Paran. You remember how that they began to complain. They had no flesh. All they had to eat was the manna from heaven, angel's food. How do you like to have some angel food so you complain? They've been feeding on that. They started out, it was like sweet honey. By the time they got there, a little over a year later, it tastes like oil to them. You know, even steaks, if you have them every day, I guess you get tired of them. I can't imagine anybody, but it's possible. That's what had happened to them. They began to complain about the leeks and the garlics that they had back in Egypt, back in the world, you see. This old flesh of ours makes demands upon us every day, calls to our attention the world. Have you ever had that happen to you? I'm sure you have. You want the things that somebody said everything that you do is either fattening or sinful or... What's the other phrase? Illegal, that's right. So that's the demands, and we all cry for that. But this is a picture that shows us of these things. And it began with the mixed people there. You remember that last week? The mixed, that is, people who were double-minded in their thinking. They had not made a commitment, actually. It tells an awful lot. You cannot be double-minded. You cannot serve God and mammon, too. And we live in a time where we rationalize everything, you see. And that's of the world, too. The thing with God is yea or nay, one way or the other. All black and white. There's no gray. There's no middle ground with God. And so that mixed-minded affected all of Israel. And they all begin to complain. And then Moses began to complain. Now you give me all these people, am I going to carry them around on my bosom like a woman? Moses took to heart to play God, you see. That's a bad thing for a leader to do. Even Moses did that. Imagine that. And now our lesson begins today. Moses' own brother and sister shows that the enmity that they had against him. He said, hadn't God spoken by us? Is Moses the only spokesman for God? Well, they couldn't find much fault with what Moses said, but they did find a clink in his armor. Evidently, Zipporah, his wife, a Midianite, had died. And he had married an Ethiopian. God forbid that. That's an external thing, see. It wasn't that they weren't right as far as the letter of what God had said. But Moses had been allowed to marry this Ethiopian woman. Why, I don't know. The Bible doesn't explain why. Perhaps we have a hint of it in what Paul said, a thorn was given him in the flesh too. Some years back, we had a little school down at the YWCA, called the Grace Bible Institute. And we hired a teacher, a Jewish man, because he was a wonderful scholar and a godly man. And he actually believed that his wife was giving him a thorn in the flesh. That wasn't a bad thing, the way he believed it. He was put there to constantly remind him every time he got out of line. That was his thorn in the flesh, his wife. It may be that this Ethiopian was given to Moses for that very reason. I don't know. The Bible is silent on it, so I don't have any way to know why. Although he did something that God didn't like. But God didn't challenge him up because God had called him for one purpose. When God calls a man to something, that's what man's calling is. Always remember that. Because notice they didn't find anything wrong with his leadership. They didn't find anything wrong with what he had to say as God, as his meekness or anything else. All they found out wrong about Moses was he married the wrong woman. See, children of Israel will be separate people, particular as far as the people of Africa were concerned. God had told them not to do that. Moses did. He married an Egyptian woman. Today, some people marry outside their races, and God knows that as before him is concerned, there's no race issue. But nevertheless, he has put a boundary between us by his fiat action. It is not going to rob you of heaven. It isn't going to send you to hell. But it will rob you of the best of blessings. And Moses, on several occasions, was guilty of this. When he was called first, you know, he said, I can't speak. God said, all right, there's Aaron, your brother. He's got a good mouthpiece. He'll do your talking. Well, he split his blessing with Aaron right there. Last week, we saw how that he said, I can't carry all these people like a mother carrying a child in her bosom. So he said, all right, pick out 70 men of the leaders of Israel. They'll share your burden. So he robbed himself of 70 more blessings. He married an Ethiopian woman. He robbed himself there too. But God's calling doesn't change. See, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God doesn't change his mind. Remember that. It's, as I quoted a while ago, every word that proceeds out of the heart, see, by thy words, and I'm quoting verbatim, you shall be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. So when you speak for God as his spokesman, you want to watch what you say. You give an account for every word. And boy, I got a lot of words to give an account for. And you have too when you take it upon yourself to handle the Word of God. That's a fearful thing. So be sure. Well, God called him before the tabernacle, and he spoke to Miriam and Aaron. And evidently, Miriam was the instigator of this thing because he didn't strike Aaron, but he struck Miriam with leprosy. But Aaron had consented to in this conspiracy. And he went to Moses. He said, look, we're wrong. You make intercession for us. And Moses did, and God healed him. She was kept outside the camp for 7 days. Spiritual perfection. She needed to be cleaned up. Brought back in, children Israel moved. They moved then to the wilderness of Paran, as we read in our letter. At that point in time, 12 men from each of the 12 tribes of Israel was appointed to go in and examine the land that God had promised to them. Now it's in Deuteronomy that we learn something else. Turn to the first chapter of Deuteronomy. Moses is talking to the children of Israel here in verse 21 and verse 22. Deuteronomy 1, 21, 22. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, that they should search out the land, bring us word again of what way we must go up in the cities that we shall come. So it was by their request. Now this is an important point, beloved. God had promised them this land, and they've been traveling over a year and a half since they left Egypt with one thing in mind, the land of milk and honey. Now they've come to Kadesh Barnea in the wilderness of Paran. And Moses instructed them to go in and possess the land. They said, well, wait a minute. Let's take a survey. let's run out on in there in a hurry. Let's send out people up there. So God commanded Moses then, in answer to what they asked for, to send spies into the land. And they sent the heads of 12 men. I did not read them all, but you can read them in the... They're all named in the chapter 13, beginning at verse 4, through verse 16. Now they've gone to the land, and we read in verse 21, back in Numbers 13, they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin and Rehob, as men come from Hamath, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Hinnom and Shishai and Talmai and the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between them, between two upon a staff. They brought the pomegranates and the figs. Can you imagine a cluster of grapes that size? Taking two men on a staff to hold it? That's pretty good sized fruit. Now notice also they brought pomegranates and figs. What is the fruit of the vine? Jesus said, what? I am what? I'm the vine. You're the branches. What's the pomegranates? Instead of the tabernacle, what was the significance of the pomegranate? You remember? Well, the high priest went in once a year into the Holy of Holies. And the garment he wore was a linen garment clear down to the skirt, all the way down. The embroidery work all around that garment was what? Pomegranates. There were little bells that tinkled. You see, the importance of that was this. The pomegranates were given to him, embroidered on his garments, to show what Israel's national privilege was, to come into the presence of God. And little bells that tinkled on the bottom of the skirt because the priest moved constantly in the Holy of Holies. Remember, he was there with the blood of a lamb to sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. If it was accepted of God, then it meant the children of Israel, their sins were covered. Kofar is the Hebrew word, means to cover up for a whole year. And that's why the priest kept moving. The bells would keep tinkling. And the tribes, as they sat around and they camped, remember the Ark of the Covenant and everything was right in the middle of the camp. As long as they heard the bells tinkling, they knew that everything was all right. If the bells stopped ringing, it meant that the priest had been struck dead and their sacrifice was not acceptable. It was a very fearful moment. The pomegranates, though, spoke of the fact that here was a nation being allowed, and with this priest in their presence, to come into God's very, very presence, right? Because that's where the... Remember how in the Ark of the Covenant it traveled through the country, and it's a tabernacle? Great pillar of cloud above it in the daytime, and at night became a pillar of fire. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, that pillar of fire went down into the Ark of the Covenant. There's where God met with him. So the pomegranates spoke then loud and clear, you see, of their national privileges to come into God's presence. And then the figs. Remember our Lord cursed the fig tree, you remember? Why? He didn't find the fruit of it, did he? See, the symbolicness of those three things. They probably brought back other things. But the only thing mentioned that they brought back was the what? The grapes, the pomegranate, and the figs. The symbolism of that, sometimes you find it very interesting in the study of the book of Judges, of those three symbols, how that God uses them all the way through the Bible. Well, now the report. They've come back. Here's the unanimous report. Verse 25. They returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel, and went as a parent to Kadesh, brought back word unto them and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came into the land where thou wentest, sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. That's a unanimous report. They agreed on that. Just what God had said. Nevertheless, the people be strong and dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and great, are very great. And more than we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelt by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. That was a unanimous report. They all agreed on that. Yes, everything is there like God said it was. And on the other hand, it's got great walled cities, and the children of Anak and Amalekite are there. Remember, Amalekite was the oldest war-fearing people that Israel had to deal with. They're all there, Hittites, Amorites as well, the Jebusites. That was a unanimous report. Then we have a minority report. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. Also in chapter 14 and verse 6, this is after they had rejected it, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through search is an exceedingly good land. The Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give us this land flowing with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Why did they say that? Well, look at the major report now. Majority. Verse 31, chapter 13. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw them that giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." Yes, they said, God did not over-exaggerate. This is a land that flows with milk and honey. The fruit of it is just unbelievable. And you can imagine a cluster of grapes so large that you've got it on a pole, two men carrying it. They never dreamed of anything like that. The fruit was unbelievable. God said, "This is the land. It's all yours." We in Oklahoma City, are faced with a real challenge. As far as I know, we're the only assembly in the state of Oklahoma that teaches the sacred secret, the mystery as revealed to the Apostle Paul. We're the only one. Now, there are individuals. I don't mean to imply that nobody else understands this. But there's not another assembly that's called in that field. So, the walls are high. And there's big giants out there, beloved. And most of the giants we have to fear are not the common people, I assure you that. It's those who are steeped well in the traditions of all theology. So we got a lot of giants too. But the fruit we have to offer is unbelievable. We've been raised and seated together in the heavenlies, exalted to the very place that Christ is. No other calling of people anywhere in the Bible has such a calling. The fruit's unbelievable. It's just too good to be true. But there are some giants. Boy, I'll tell you. I know, because I've been in this battle and I know what it's all about. Men who are men of stature too, godly men. Keep in mind, all 12 of these people have seen the miracles of God from the land of Egypt. They've seen God work in a way that never been manifested in all history. They've seen the Red Sea depart, open up and let the whole 2.5 million people run on dry land. They've seen God close up and destroy the Egyptian army. They've seen God provide water where there was no water. They've seen him rain down manna from heaven. They've seen quails, remember, 2 cubits deep, on a whole day's journey on both sides of the camp. You talk about miracles. Man. And mind you, 12 of the most enlightened of all of the children of Israel were sent as spies into the land. But only 2 of them came back with confidence in God, in spite of all that they'd been through. And the majority, you know, always rules. It happens in America, see. But you know, that shouldn't be true. Law should rule. In America, we have the same thing. We're a nation under law, under God. Or I should repeat it, that we're under God, under law. Not a nation who are under men, but under God, under law. Israel was a people under God, under law. But what happens? The majority rules. It happened then, it's happening now. Why? Because of circumstances. And you know, the sad thing about that is that the people who really paid the price and gave us our national inheritance warned us against all these negotiations, entering into all these contracts with all these foreign nations. And we've done just exactly the opposite. We become a nation under men, no longer under law. The supreme law of the land is the Declaration of is the Constitution of the United States in Article 7 declared it to be. The course that was intended for us under government rule, under law, was that the place of government was to secure life, liberty, and property, nothing else. You see, we can't point back to children of Israel and say they did not heed God's word. We haven't either. And the majority report was what was accepted. And when the two that stood up against it said, we can go in and possess them. They're bread and we just eat them up. God's on our side. What did they do? They want to stone them. Boy, look at the protests all over America today. Everything is absolutely right for our nation is being protested on every hand. Every little old nitpicking thing you can think of. Why? Because we're no longer a people under law, but a people under men. Sad, but it's true. So, conditions remain the same. In other words, as somebody said, the more things change, the more they remain the same. Has not changed in our day. Same thing. They believed the majority report. They turned down the minority report. Why? Unbelief. Pure and simple. We should... I didn't mean this to be political. Sometimes I wind up this way, and I don't mean it. But we ought to be careful. When we vote for a man for office, we should vote for that man for his position concerning the things of God and under law. And that should be the primary thing that causes us to cast a vote as Christians. And if we don't have anybody to vote like that, just stay home, put your hand. The idea of going out and voting just to be voting is wrong. We should vote for people who stand for what is right. But they came to the place where they want to stone the leaders. Moses and Joshua and Caleb. Now the wheels of God turn slowly and grind slowly, but they grind fine. And for 38 years, a little over 38 years, because they did not go in and take the land right then, they wandered through the wilderness. God still fed them. He still clothed them. But if you read the whole story here, he said, every man child here that came out of Egypt that's above 20 years of age will never be allowed to go into the land of promise. Only two was allowed to go in. That was Caleb and Joshua. All the rest of the people who went in were under 20 years of age at that time. Look at what they missed. God's faithful. It is true that one day the nation in resurrection will get that land. God's still faithful. You remember how Moses was not allowed to go in either, remember? Yet, in the days of our Lord's flesh, you remember what happened to Moses? The land he was never allowed to go into, he came what? He appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah from the Old Testament. He did. He set his feet down on the Mount of Transfiguration with our Lord himself. So God was faithful. He did. He brought Moses in. But he didn't go in. He didn't get to go in. Many of our people, the same way. God's promises are always yea, never yea. But if he said yea, that's the way it is. But a lot of God's people are going to miss many of the first blessings because they did not adhere to what God had to say. God will be faithful. You'll get it eventually. But in the meantime, you get it too. You know what I mean? You get the other. God is always faithful all the way. Many of God's people will wake up in resurrection and realize what they've missed. Just like these children of Israel, they had to learn. Now, these are only historical things, but in 1 Corinthians 10 we're told, these things are written for our learning. They're examples for us to note. Paul, in his writing to us, energized with the Holy Spirit, for our faith obedience, over and over again says, be ye imitators, followers of me. Why? Because he was a follower of Christ. Paul was a spokesman to us, just exactly like Moses was a spokesman for the children of Israel. Moses, in whom they emphasized to high heaven that they were followers of his. Jesus said to, in the days of his flesh, to the very men who claimed that authority, he said, if you were really truly followers of Moses, you would have believed me because Moses wrote about me. See? It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to exercise. I'll close with these words. No testing is pleasant at the time of the testing, but afterward it yieldeth the peace.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.